Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup. And a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
The Last Word on Today FM.
So what are you going to be watching on your television or your streaming service over Christmas? We've asked Elaine Burke and Joe O'Shea to make loads of recommendations for you. So, Joe, I'm going to start with you. But before you tell us about why you've picked Amadeus, which is on Sky and Sky Atlantic and Now TV, let's hear some of the trailer.
Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
Antonio Salieri.
Why didn't you stand up for the music?
Just because you're stuck rehashing boring old operas doesn't mean I have to be. The whole reason why I came to Vienna was to write for the Imperial Opera. Oh.
This repulsive creature, played as though guided by a greater power.
Oh, yuck. Who wrote this?
How could I not take it as an insult?
People have made sacrifices for you. Because we see what you are. What you could be.
You've heard it, Antonio. My God, the boy can write.
It's quite good.
Quite good? He had written a masterpiece. And I was nothing but a spectator.
Maybe God doesn't speak to you. Because you bore him.
Joe, it's over 40 years now since the Oscar-winning movie Amadeus. What's different about this TV series?
That's a very good question, because everybody, or lots of people, remember that fantastic movie from the 80s and F. Murray Abrams as Salieri winning an Oscar for that, Best Actor. It is different. It's very different. And the makers of this, now it's a 6-part series instead of a movie. They say they've kind of gone back to the original source material, which was the original play. But it's a sort of a mishmash of what you remember from the movie and stuff from the play, and also kind of new elements to it as well. The main difference being that Mozart in Amadeus on the Sky Atlantic on the series is not the kind of laughing, simpering boy child that we remember from the 1984 movie. This Mozart is he's dark, he's driven, he's arrogant, and he's also, there's a maliciousness to him as well. So the kind of the play with Salieri is very different. It's a lot more of an edge to it. It's not just in one direction. Mozart is really out to get Salieri as well in some respects, and kind of turn him into a figure of fun. It's got a kind of a rocky reception from the critics. I'm not saying this is going to be the greatest series in history, but I watched the first episode last night. And I think for a Christmas watch, it's Vienna at the height, you know, the golden age of the empire. It's Mozart, it's music, it's dresses, it's beautiful people and beautiful places. I think it's really well worth your time this Christmas.
Okay. The first thing I'm going to ask you, Elaine, to say, why are you suggesting Netflix's Stranger Things for Christmas?
Because I've been waiting for these episodes to drop over Christmas. My whole family is counting down the days to 1 a.m. on December 26th when the new episodes come. And they won't even be the last episodes, because the last episode comes on New Year's Day here in Ireland, again at 1 a.m.
So hang on, how many have been released in the final series to date?
4 so far.
And then you're going to get another how many on Stephen's Day?
3 episodes on Stephen's Day with a total runtime of about 4 hours, it looks like.
And then you get a final one on New Year's Day.
New Year's Day, and that will be a feature length episode. So it looks like it's going to be over 2 hours long.
Okay. And has the final series, the 4 episodes you've had to date, lived up to your expectations?
Yes. I was practically jumping out of my seat after the last part of the first 4 episodes, and really, really excited now to see how they wrap this up. It kind of had a slow build, because they had, you know, the way Stranger Things works, there's always a time jump in between seasons, so you're trying to kind of catch up on what has happened in the meantime. Essentially, they have to give you all that explanation of where things are at now, and they do need to wrap up 5 years of this exquisite show, so I'm really excited.
Okay, but if you're new to Stranger Things, or if you'd given it up after the first series like I did, do you have to go back and watch seasons 2, 3 and 4 to actually, or could you come in cold at the start of season 5?
Well, I think the thing about Netflix is they do kind of make things for people who are half watching. People are rumoured to be told to even script things in that kind of way. So you could enjoy it. You could absolutely jump in and still enjoy it, I think, because they do explain things quite well. And if you've watched anything from the 80s, you'd be able to follow the vibe of this, you know, kids banding together to take down an evil force, essentially. But I would say you'll get a lot more out of it if you have watched those other seasons, because there's certain characters that only came up in the later seasons that you won't be as familiar with.
Okay. Now, Chloe Hadji-Mateo has been a guest here on The Last Word talking about the Salt Pat scandal. And this is now a documentary, Joe, that you've picked out for watching over Christmas. And again, let's hear a little bit from the trailer for that.
This is the true story of how a guidebook to the southwest coast changed everything for one couple.
Even now, it's not quite real.
The Salt Path was an international bestseller sold as unflinchingly honest, was anything but.
Raina Wynne and her husband Moth lost their home and also learnt Moth was terminally ill.
None of us know what is true in that book and what isn't.
They took her into custody.
She has embezzled.
Raina Wynne's response was, it's mine and Moth's truth.
It was the biggest story I'd ever broken. What else is there to uncover?
Okay, Joe, 2 million copies of this book, The Salt Path. Then there was a movie made as well with Gillian Anderson and Jason Isaacs. And then this reporter, Chloe Hadji-Mateo, who is also the narrator of the documentary, exposed the truth in relation to it. Why is this worth bothering with?
Yeah, because it's just such an extraordinary story. I remember reading it in the Observer, the original report that kind of blew the lid off all of this. And my jaw dropped, you know, I couldn't believe it. Because what it seems to have been, and, you know, the jury is kind of still out on this, is it probably one of the biggest inventions, let's say, that's ever been perpetrated on the British public in terms of what seemed to be the most amazing story about this couple who are facing this terrible, terrible, you know, disease in the husband, Moth, and how they'd kind of like found a new life and a second life and a cure, and everything had been worked out because they'd gone on this big long trek across one of the most beautiful parts of England. A story almost too good to be true, and it turns out it actually kind of was. So I think this very much kind of like it's a very telling tale of modern society, what we want to believe, how we believe it, and how people can manipulate the need to believe in good stories. I think this is the Salt Pat scandal is an extraordinary, you know, story, and I think a great documentary and a fantastic thing to watch over Christmas.
Okay, back to you, Elaine. The BBC still likes to do Christmas Day specials, doesn't it? Taking a programme that has been very popular during the year and doing a sort of a one-off special. And the one that they've done for this year that you've picked out is Amandaland.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this spin-off to Motherland that started earlier this year and features Amanda as the prime character. And she kind of is the scene-stealing character in Motherland a lot of the time. And they still have other characters from Motherland popping up.
Sorry, Motherland was a Sharon Horgan creation, wasn't it?
I think it was like there was a collective created Motherland. Yeah, there was a bunch of really great writers involved in creating Motherland. And then Amandaland is the spin-off with one character carrying on the story, essentially. Siobhan McSweeney is also one of the kind of prime other characters in her life in this spin-off series. And Joanna Lumley plays her mother, and her mother is referenced in Motherland, so the casting of Joanna Lumley is great as this really bristly hoity-toity mother. And in the Christmas special, because you have to have guest stars in these BBC Christmas specials, we have Jennifer Saunders coming in alongside Joanna Lumley as her sister.
So does this turn it into Ab Fab?
I hope so, because that's what I want from this. Amandaland meets Ab Fab is a nice Christmas combo that I'm really looking forward to seeing. And that's on BBC One on Christmas Day at 9:15. Obviously, if you don't catch it on Christmas Day, you can record it for later. But it's like, of all the Christmas specials that are out there this year, this is one that stood out to me, because I have to say, I did really enjoy that series. I thought the humour really carries through with Amanda, and it's the relationship with her mom that's some of the funniest parts of it. So to bring in Jennifer Saunders to lift that for a Christmas special, I think is a really inspired choice.
Okay, you've got a choice for BBC Two on Christmas Eve, Joe. A ghost story for Christmas. What's this?
This is every year Mark Gatiss, who people might know from Sherlock, and he was in The League of Gentlemen. He's kind of cornered the market in kind of spooky Victorian Edwardian kind of parlour tales. And every Christmas he does a special. Normally it's M.R. James, the ghost stories like Whistle and Comfew and stories like that. It's different this year. It's a different writer. But what he does is he produces these beautiful kind of atmospheric, spooky, creepy Christmas stories. And Christmas used to be about ghost stories. Like Charles Dickens wrote an entire, you know, wrote endless short stories and ghost stories about Christmas. So Joanna Lumley, again, she's starring in this, and it's E.F. Benson's short story, The Room in the Tower. And there's a young man comes to stay in a kind of a haunted place, Tobias Menzies. So it's basically kind of creeping dread, kind of genteel horror. And I find Mark Gatiss' Christmas specials, the ghost stories, I find them absolutely a treat every year. And they're on the BBC iPlayer as well, if you want to go back and have a look at them.
Now, your next one that I'm taking, Elaine, is on YouTube. Okay, do you think many people are going to turn to YouTube for their Christmas viewing?
Well, statistically speaking, it does look very likely, because this year is the first year in the States, which is one of the biggest TV audiences out there, that what people were watching on their TV sets, like actually through a TV, the top thing that they were watching was YouTube. So above any other channel, any other streamer, it was YouTube was the thing that people were watching on their television. So because you have the ability to access YouTube directly through a lot of TVs that are in most households now, it has become really, really popular for people to tune into it, not just on a phone, not just on a computer, but through an actual television set, and for it to become part of the TV viewership entity. And you have football streaming is now being, you know, pushed more onto YouTube, and they're even trying to like bring the YouTube influence into football and commentary and stuff like that to bring people along with them for the TV viewing. And then we have the Oscars from 2029 announced this week that's going to be exclusively on YouTube from that. So I think YouTube is kind of the future of television at this point, if it's not the present of television.
But you're not entirely sure that your selection is going to be available to people here in Ireland.
So if you have ways about you to make it look like you're from Canada, which some people will have with a VPN, you can get access to this film, So This Is Christmas. It's a documentary, and it's from Ken Wardrop. If you're familiar with the documentary His and Hers, which was this amazing award-winning Irish documentary, and it's similar to that in that it's got this real beautiful, very local, very native Irishness to it. It's shot on 35mm film, giving it an extra like nostalgia layer to it as well. And it's essentially about Christmas in a small town in Ireland, but it's about people who are looking forward to Christmas in anticipation, but also people who are dreading it and people who hate it.
Let's hear a clip from the trailer.
The Christmas spirit is something you have to feel. And most of the time I don't. Sorry.
I can't say I dislike Christmas. But it's a huge fuss for 24 hours.
The jacket stuffed?
Yes, please.
Cards wrapping paper, a honey wreath.
But everything is much more expensive this year.
I just put up the Christmas tree to fit in with everybody else. If I didn't put up a tree, it would be just like another time to me now.
Did you know Christmas is cancelled? It's because I told Santa I was good and he died laughing.
Loneliness is one thing, but being invisible and forgotten is something else.
I do start crying when they're singing Christmas carols. Just going to be left alone.
I don't know how I'm going to get through Christmas.
For me, Christmas will never be the same again. But the important part is time.
Kindness of people is the Christmas message.
We put this for Santa. He might give you a girlfriend or something.
As hard and all as things are, we're finding the joy in every day.
So This Is Christmas. And by the way, for any children listening, that little boy was only making a joke about Santa dying of laughter. That was a joke. It wasn't real. Okay, both of you have a choice. Joe, I'm going to start with you on this, though. Christmas Eve, you'll be watching Carols from Kilmainham.
Yeah, I think we don't have a lot of communal Christmas watching anymore these days. You know, back, it was different back in two channel time when you knew everybody was sitting down to watch Willy Wonka every year on RT. It's different now these days, and we don't have those big, big Christmas events. I think this is the closest thing we get to it on Irish TV, and that's Marty Whelan, and you know, presenting from the Royal Hospital in Kilmainham. A musical celebration, basically. And very, you know, it does exactly what it says in the tin. It's this year he's got Imelda May, Garin Noon, the High Kings, and the Daughters of Jerusalem, who are a choir from Palestine.
Who featured on this programme about a month ago. Yeah.
So, exactly. So, you know all about them. I think it's a chance for, you know, like I said, a communal Irish Christmas TV experience, and I think lots of people will be watching it on Christmas Eve.
Elaine, you watch that?
6:20. Oh, I'll absolutely be watching that. I wake up to Marty in the morning all the time, and it gives me joy. It's a great way to start the day. I mean, I love you, Matt, but Marty's my real radio dad.
Right. I don't know so what's the worst part about that. It was the bit, the dad bit there, I think, actually. It's a bit that stung the hardest in relation to that. Okay, right. You've got a choice. Wild London on New Year's Day, Elaine.
Oh, yeah. So this is what you need. You need to decompress after all the madness of Christmas. I think a nature documentary is ideal for this kind of time in your life. And this is going to be a David Attenborough narrated one, so you know it's going to be good. And it's doing urban wildlife in what is apparently the greenest major city in the world. I didn't know this about London, but you're going to see urban deer. You know, we have our own here in Phoenix Park, rooftop peregrines, and all the kind of wildlife that are making a home for themselves in this urban environment. And I'm sure because it's an Attenborough documentary, we'll learn a lot about how, you know, the environment is impacting them and things that we need to know about maybe looking after that biodiversity in urban centres. So this just seems like the perfect, you know, Christmas has passed. You need to get back to reality, but not like into, you know, the realness of reality and turning on the news. Turn on a nature documentary, reconnect, even if you don't feel like going outside. Do that.
Joe, your final choice is one that Elaine also endorses for Christmas Day, a programme on TG Cahir at 10 to 5, Nully.
Yeah, this would be very easy to miss. Christmas Day, lots on, lots of big TV events. But I think this is going to be great. This is a new Irish language animated Christmas special with a great story. Nully is a deer who's been raised on a farm by his human family. But he his life turns upside down when he discovers he might be the last remaining joint Irish deer, you know, of myth and legend and back an actual real life back in from history. So he sets off on a quest to go back to the Stone Circle where he was found. He's got his sister Sive, a Christmas obsessed bat called Stoka, and I think it's going to be a gorgeous Irish made Christmas story. So that's Nully, TG Cahir, 10 to 5 on Christmas Day.
Actually, Amy is in touch to say, so this is Christmas. You can find it in the RT player. It's been there for a long time, apparently.
Oh,
so you don't
there.
Need YouTube.
I didn't know if it was still there.
Okay, right. Your final choice, Elaine. Gene Kelly, Roald on Rinsa on Christmas Day on TG Cahir.
Railed on Rinke.
Sorry, my apologies. Different way of pronouncing it in the South.
Dan Starr, Gene Kelly on TG Cahir. This is just a documentary about Gene Kelly. I didn't know, now I'm feeling foolish because of his surname, it is sort of obvious, but I didn't know about his Irish roots, and I'm now going to campaign for him to be renamed Ireland's true Lord of the Dance. But this documentary goes back over his career, does kind of touch on those Irish roots and interviews his eldest daughter, Kerry Kelly Novick. And I love Gene Kelly. I love watching musicals. I usually watch them around Christmas time as well, because you do get that kind of stuff on TV because loads of films are being trotted out on television and maybe the musicals are cheaper for them to get at this point. Singing in the Rain is the best musical going probably at this point still, and Gene Kelly has always been like a superstar in my eyes, so this is definitely worth checking out, and it's nice again to pick up some of the Irish language stuff around this time as well.
Thank you very much, Elaine Burke, Joe O'Shea, for all your contributions throughout 2025. We look forward to seeing loads of you during 2026 as well.
The Last Word on Today FM.